On our Bible survey journey, so open your Bibles with me to Genesis. Telling Jen last night that I really had in my mind at least two different things to focus upon tonight and bring to your attention tonight. And when I sat down to start to develop those two thoughts, the Lord almost instantly gave me another thought. We may well get to one of the other two or both, but right now tonight, we're going to look at everybody's favorite subject in the Bible, genealogies. Somebody begat somebody, begat somebody, begat somebody, begat somebody. But we won't take the time to read every one of them, but we'll bring to your attention the design of God as we work our way through the Bible. I'd be just sitting down, and I would encourage you, please take time to read your Bibles and kind of keep up with where we are in the Bible survey and get familiar with that. Right now, the earlier portions of Genesis. If you have a cross-reference Bible, take and look down through some of those cross-references and chase some of them out. And they may very likely take you to some of the very same places that I'm going to take you as we work our way through our Bibles. But in the book of Genesis, we started out, of course, with creation. And we didn't spend a lot of time on it. It wasn't our point to, other than to bring out the very clear teaching of the six literal day creation, and then the creation of man. And we, of course, dealt with the unfolding drama of redemption, how that man fell and God provided a covering, and how that was a picture of Christ. And everything, our focus throughout this Bible survey will be to bring to your attention how that this chapter of the Bible and that section of the Bible points to Christ, or pictures Christ, or foreshadows Christ. Well, today we're going to, with the Lord's help, begin looking at some lines, some genealogies. Now, we know in Genesis chapter 4, we have the almost unbelievable scene in chapter 4 and verse 8. Cain talked with Abel, his own brother. And it came to pass when they're in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, I thought about even taking the two men and just pointing out so many things that are relative and relevant to today. How that Cain had a form of religion. Cain was a religious fellow. Cain brought before the Lord an offering. He not only was a religious fellow, but he was in his own attempt seeking to serve the true God. But he didn't do that in faith. He did it by the effort of his hands, and God rejected it. God said, "I don't want the feeble effort of your hands. I want your heart." Well, Abel brought to God that sacrifice by faith, being motivated by love for God. He brings the right sacrifice. It is accepted of God. And Cain's was not. And I thought about drawing those parallels all the way through our Bibles till the Lord. And we see those that will stand before the Lord one day by his own admission and said, "Hey, look, I did this and I did that." And he said, "No, no way. Depart from me. I never knew you." But then the Lord brought to my mind verse 16 of this chapter. And then my mind began to go in a different direction. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord." That phrase right there, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. At the end of this chapter, we have then born unto Adam and Eve, Seth. And instantly we see that there were two lines. We have the line of Cain, and it's outlined here for us, the different names of the different children, and probably not every one of them, but some of them. And how that these children of Cain were very accomplished people, but ungodly. The line of Cain, and through your Bible, you'll find no indication at all from the line of Cain that there was ever much in the way of godliness. But then you have Seth, and I meant to pass this out. Sam, you want to come here a minute. Right there by Jen, there's a stack of papers, and I meant to have you pass them out before I got going. Make sure each one of the adults gets one. Hey, you know what? I need one. And I have the genealogies on here. I sat down at my computer one time, and I worked and I worked and I worked and I worked to get this genealogy worked out, and then I found it in a book after I'd gotten it all done. I said, should have looked. Why do you try to recreate the wheel, huh? The genealogy from Adam, if you start on the page that starts in year zero, now there's front and back, make sure you get the right side, genealogy from Adam. Now the way that I numbered this was from zero upward. I didn't try to take it from today backward, but from creation upward. And you see here, I referenced after Adam, the next son referenced is Seth. Thank you, Sam. The next son referenced is Seth. Now, Adam had other children, but the godly line we'll see is through Seth, not through Cain. Cain left and departed from the presence of the Lord. In the latter part of chapter 4, Seth is born. And then in chapter 5, we begin with this phrase. This is the book of generations, of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Doesn't talk about Cain here, doesn't talk about even Abel here, but talks about Seth, and that's significant. Verse 4, the days of Adam after he begotten Seth were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters. All the days of Adam that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Notice the third name I referenced on that sheet is Enos. And if you read down through here, you'll read the same list of names that I have on my page. Adam, and then Seth, and Enos. Canaan, and Meliliel, and Jared, and Enoch, and Methuselah, and Lamech, and Noah, and the flood. And then I carried on out to when they died. This is a neat little reminder because what you see here in Adam is that Adam lived 930 years. Okay? Adam lived till after the birth of Lamech. What is that? Son, grandson, great, 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 great. That's like his fifth great grandson. Adam lived all the way to the father of Noah. Do you realize the implications of that? That Noah, from the between Adam and Noah, there only had to be one person. What I'm saying is, Adam could have told the story of creation to Lamech, and Lamech told it to Noah. And there doesn't have to be this many, 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 many generations, but Adam lived all the way to Noah's dad and after. What is that, 26 years? No, 30, 56 years. And so we have this overlap of time that is very significant in passing the story of creation on down to Noah. Only one intermediate has to be there, and that's Lamech. What we find as we study our Bibles, and we keep this one thing in our mind and preface everything else with this one thing, that the Bible is the story of Christ. And so even when you're reading these genealogies, you're reading how that we got to Christ. How from Adam we make our way to Christ. How that Adam begat sons and daughters. Adam had Abel, which Cain killed. And Cain, he had Cain, but Cain left the presence of the Lord. And God gave them Seth. And the godly line went through Seth. And we know this because he's the one listed in chapter 5 that's specific to Adam. In verse 6, Seth lived 105 years. And in verse 3, he had Seth. And then he had, by the way, other sons and daughters. But the key focus is upon Seth. Now, in chapter 6, we come along and now you see we're at the flood. Now, chapter 6 is written about 100 years, 120 years. Verse 3, chapter 6, verse 3, the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." So we're 120 years from the flood. God makes the announcement of the flood 120 years early. And so we know that the flood, through simple mathematics, we know that the flood took place 1,600 years after creation. Specifically 1,656. Well, 120 years earlier, in chapter 6, God begins to announce the facts that there's going to be a flood. There's going to be a global disaster. Now, in other words, man's been on the earth 1,500-ish years. 1,500 years of families having children and grandchildren and this line of Seth being developed. And when we look through the genealogies, we know that the genealogy in Genesis chapter 5 takes you right to Noah. Goes through Seth and takes you right to Noah. Because Moses is explaining the lineage. And of course, then Noah and his family, the only ones that make it through the flood. So one of the lines, or one of the children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, has to be the line that it continues on through, and we find in our Bibles that is Shem. But it's all about Christ. Leaving Noah and his family in the ark is all about Christ. It's all about getting to Christ. Back in Genesis, he promised a Savior. And it's all about getting to that place where Jesus is born. Well, at the beginning of chapter 6, we see the stark contrast in the division of the godly line of people through Seth and the rest. And it came, chapter 6, verse 1, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." I believe that this is not referring to anything other than the godly line and the ungodly line. The godly line that goes through Seth and those that are just a natural birth line. The sons of God would refer to those that go through the line of Seth. And then the daughters of men, those that would just be everybody else, basically. And what you find there is a blurring of the lines, that there had begun to be marriages made with folks that were saved to folks that were unsaved. Now God's response to that is, verse 3, "My spirit will not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." That response ought to catch our attention of how God views a saved person seeking out and marrying a lost person. He brings that to our attention and then says in verse 3, "That's enough. I'm not going to have any more of this." But my point tonight is this. There's a line that goes through Seth. Those two lines are contrasted in the early parts of chapter 6. Chapter 6 introduces the flood. The flood will then narrow it all the way back down to one family. And we'll start over on those lines. And through our Bibles, we'll find out that we start over through Shem. Look with me in chapter 10. We have another set of genealogies. And chapter 10, verse 1 starts out with, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood." Now, then it goes through and lists the line of Japheth, and then the line of Ham, and then Shem. Now Shem, the line of Shem starts in verse 21. "Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother Japheth." He goes on and then lists this line. And now if you turn the page over, I started my line from Shem. And we go on down through and we can read our Bibles and we can find out that in chapter 11, verse 10, "These are the generations of Shem." And just like Noah did with Seth, he's doing now with Shem. He's focusing upon the line that God was going to use to remain, to have a straight shot all the way to Christ. And that's going to be through Shem. And we pick it up in verse 10, and we again see the line going through Shem, and then he begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood, and then you'll see the line pick right on up like I've got it on the back side of the page, and you'll notice, again, something interesting. Notice, look at the line of Noah, and how that the line goes over there, clear over to 2006 years after creation. Notice how that falls just about to the birth of Abraham. 2 years shy of the birth of Abraham. Noah lived to 2006 years after the flood, after creation, and Abraham was born 2008 years after creation. In other words, Noah could have told Abraham's father, Terah, directly of the events of the flood. Think about the fact that you can get all the way to Abraham and only have the story passing through about four people. And it's 2,000 years. But the lifespans, of course, prior to the flood were much longer. And we see this playing out, that the information about creation could have gotten all the way to Abraham with just the transfer of a couple of times. And so that's very interesting to me. Through the genealogies, we find in chapter 11 the line of Shem there, and we make our way down to verse 26. Chapter 11 and verse 26. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram. Of course, we know him as Abraham, most of our Bibles, but as he was named by his father, Abram, Nahor and Haran. So we know that God was going to use the line of Shem. He focuses on it as he's having Moses record this. And Moses records it right on down through to Abram. Then Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You know this is the God of the line. It's the line that the Lord references over and over in the New Testament. So this lineage, we know that from Abram was the promise given. He said, let's change your name to Abraham. And I'm gonna make a promise, Genesis 17. And through you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Abraham and Sarah don't produce a child as fast as they thought maybe they should. And they decide, through Sarah's prompting, to have Abraham come together with Hagar. And that was just a mess. And Ishmael is born. Ishmael then can be seen through our Bibles as a line of people that is contrary to the people of God. But then God gives Abram and Sarah Isaac. And through Isaac then we see the line continue on. Genesis chapter 22. We're covering a lot of history here, but we're tying our Bibles together and making a line all the way to Christ. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Now, Abraham had other sons. But here God said, this is the one that I'm dealing with. Not dealing with Ishmael. Dealing with Isaac. Take now thy only son, whom thou lovest. Go to the land of Moriah and sacrifice him. We know, of course, how that turns out, that God provided himself a lamb. And Abraham did not actually have to go through with offering Isaac. Well, it's all about getting to Christ. It's all about the line going to Christ. Look at Romans 9. When we see this in the Old Testament, we could spend more time in genealogies, and we could spend more time looking at this. But when you see the overview of what's going on, and you see that it's simply a matter of getting to Christ, you begin to see our Bibles are a book of history of Jesus. Now, we begin to look, let's say, verse 6, Romans 9, 6. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now, there's a lot that goes into that statement. There were those that were physically of the seed of Israel. They were physically of the lineage of Israel, but they weren't saved. And he's making a spiritual versus physical comparison. Those that were of Israel were those that were saved. Neither, verse 7, because they are of the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so we're making our way through Isaac. The New Testament confirms that. And then in Galatians chapter 3, bring to your mind a verse in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. It was all about getting to Christ. Everything in your Bible is in some way, shape, or form pointing to Christ. The genealogies, as yawning as they may be sometimes, they're making their way to Christ. One last scripture. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And we'll just read four verses. Verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was. Jesus, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. That is the genealogy of Jesus going backwards. Now, pick it up in verse 34. Which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Terah. See, it's going right on backwards through the line. Verse 36. Which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Arphaxad, which was the son of Shem, which was the son of Noah, which was the son of Lamech. See, just confirming the line that God used all the way back. Verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So our whole Bible is making our way to Christ. You keep these genealogy pages. I have several more, so you can keep these, but just remember, as we begin to take this Bible survey, it's all about Christ. It's all about getting to Him. It's all about the work that He's going to do on the cross. And remember John 6. He doesn't lose one. Of all that the Father gave Him, He won't lose any. And so everything in our Bibles is about getting to Jesus, who's going to do the work that God sent Him to do, and not fail in one thing.